This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalbank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Our first question is from Mark, who asks, what is the mass distribution of stars in our galaxy and the universe?
In the words of the inevitable Monty Python, our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 300 light years wide. We're 30,000 light-years from galactic central point, we go around every 200 million years, and our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. That basically explains the structure of the galaxy. There is something like 100 billion times the mass of the Sun in the Milky Way. There's a big bulge in the middle, at the centre of which is our local friendly supermassive black hole. But most of the mass in the galaxy is spread out in a vast disk, 100,000 light-years across. We're about halfway out in this disk, though that depends on exactly where you want to draw the edge of it. And it's a really thin disk. If you fold a normal A4 piece of paper into quarters and cut out the biggest circle you can, that's how thick the disk of the galaxy is. And most of the stars in the galaxy lie within this disk. That's why you can see the fuzzy band of Milky Way encircling the sky. You're seeing the combined light of billions of stars. And on that scale of the piece of paper, the central bulge of our galaxy is about the size of a ping pong ball. So although it takes up a decent chunk of the galaxy, it only contains about 16% of its mass. Now there's various stars that orbit our galaxy, either by themselves, in clusters, or in small dwarf galaxies. But these are relatively few in number and don't contribute much to the total number of stars in our galaxy's sphere of influence. Going beyond our galaxy, the nearest neighbour is the Andromeda Galaxy. You can just about see it with the naked eye, but telescope or binoculars will bring it out a lot better. It's about 2.5 million light-years away, and it's about the same size as ours, just a little bit bigger. Now, if you cut out your galaxy from your sheet of paper, Andromeda would be a similar sort of size, a little over 1.5 times the distance you can stretch with your arms out, about 2.5 meters. Now, most of the space in between the galaxies is essentially devoid of stars. If you were sitting halfway between the Milky Way and Andromeda, for example, you wouldn't be able to see very much with your naked eye. You'd see two fuzzy blobs, Andromeda and the Milky Way. If your eyesight was really good, you might be able to see some of the other fuzzy blobs around them. You might even be able to see a third galaxy, M33. But unless you happen to be very lucky in where you landed, the rest of the sky would be inky blackness. And that's what most of the rest of the universe is made of. No one really knows how many galaxies there are. They go on further than we can see. There's probably at least 100 billion galaxies, maybe many more. But they are really just islands of light in the vastness of space, most of which is only filled with a few atoms of hydrogen, and a whole heap of dark things that we can't really see and don't really understand.
It's so strange to think of there just being nothing if you were to look up the sky apart from two fuzzy blobs.
It's amazingly empty out there.
Our next question is from Peter Ellinger, who asks, what provides the impedance to the progression of light through a vacuum that reduces the velocity to 299792458 meters per second?
Well, light travels through a vacuum at somewhere close to 300,000 kilometers per second, and it goes at that speed because there's no impedance, at least none that we know of. If you introduce an impedance, like air or water or glass, the speed of light slows down. In fact, if you have a look at Bose-Einstein condensates, they use a trick by which light can be effectively slowed down to walking pace. So I'll rephrase the question. Why does light travel in a vacuum at the speed it does? Well, the truth is, we don't really know. It's one of the fundamental constants of the universe. In fact, we're not entirely sure that it's always been constant throughout the universe's history, though we think it has. If we work out where the fundamental laws of the universe, like the speed of light and gravity and all these kind of things, come from, then we might be able to work out why light has this particular speed. And that might open the door to ways of getting around the speed of light, which is the fundamental speed limit in the universe. But perhaps the best way to think about the speed of light is that it's simply a conversion. We live in four-dimensional space. You'll be familiar with three of them. The fourth is space-time. Now, normally you can think of space-time as being just the same as time, as it's only in places of very strong gravity where it changes appreciably. We fall through space-time at the rate of 1 second per second. But because it's a dimension like any other, we can also think of this as a distance. The speed at which we travel through space-time is a constant 300,000 kilometers a second or so, the speed of light. If you want to think in this way, it can get around of all sorts of problems in relativity. In this way of thinking, we must always travel through four-dimensional space at a constant rate of 300,000 km a second. If we want to travel fast in conventional three-dimensional space, that reduces the rate at which we fall through time. So if you're happy to think about four dimensions, which we kind of do anyway, then the speed of light is simply the rate at which we experience the universe.
Next we have one from Jerome Tremblay, who says, this is a query from a nine-year-old. Is the universe flat or curved?
Oh dear. Most people with a PhD in astrophysics struggle with this one. Well, firstly, we have to describe what we mean by a flat and curved universe. That's a universe that's curved in four dimensions. Okay, so remember that extra dimension I just snuck in the last question. It's about to get more complicated. We're used to giving directions in our daily lives in three dimensions. If we go up, down, north, south, east, or west. And few of us pay attention to the shape of the Earth and the fact that our up isn't the same direction as the up they talk about on the other side of the world. Now, many people throughout history have thought the world was flat, but it's been known since the ancient Greek times that it's actually a sphere. If the world was flat and we set out across it, we'd eventually reach an edge. But since the world is round, we'd keep going and eventually end up where we started. Now, the same is true of the universe. In a closed universe, the universe is curved into a four-dimensional, or even a higher-dimensional, sphere. If we set out across that sphere in a straight line, we'll go for a very long way, longer than we can ever see from Earth. But eventually we'll find ourselves back on the Earth again. And if we live in an open universe, then the same sort of thing happens, but there's all sorts of weirdness like chirality shifts and stuff that goes on that I don't really want to get into. But if we live in a flat universe, then we can set out in a straight line and keep going forever. So which is it? Well, all the measurements we can make so far say that the universe is flat, very flat. We'll never actually be able to see enough of it to say that there's absolutely no curvature, in the same way that you can't take any object and say it's absolutely flat. Even a flat piece of paper has tiny ridges on it, and even the flattest things have bumps on the scale of individual atoms. But the latest data we have is to say that the universe is at least as flat as the average pancake.
Thank you very much for all the brilliant answers. And if you have any astronomical questions that you want answered, then send them in via all the usual channels.